Well, God bless everyone. This is Jan Majera, and today I'm going to be talking about what is a testimony. And we've been so blessed to hear people's stories and how they got in the Word and different things. It has been a real joy to hear about people's lives and what God has done for them. And I think we should keep on doing this more. So it has caused me to think about testimonies and what they are. And also, we're going to be the next 3 weeks, right? We're going to be talking about themes that are having to do with Pentecost. And so today I want to talk about being witnesses. So we can open up with Acts chapter 1. And I'm also going to be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, most of the verses today. So if you have your phone and you want to go there, you can pull up that translation. So Acts 1 and verse 8, this is on the day of the Ascension, 10 days before Pentecost. And Jesus is telling them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I think we're on the end of the earth here. But the cool part is, he was saying, you're going to receive power first, and then you're going to be witnesses. So we want to keep that in mind as we're talking about what is a witness and what is a testimony. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the word picture, and first I'm going to tell you what the word is. It's pronounced Ed. And if you recall, maybe some of you don't because you're too young, but when we were kids, there was a show called Mr. Ed, the Talking Horse, right? So if you think about this word testimony, then associate it with Mr. Ed, who's always talking. The word, the Hebrew word Ed, in its simplest meaning, means to do it again or repeat. So when we experience something and then we tell about it, we're actually repeating or reliving the experience. And we're kind of reenacting it and telling about how significant it was for us. And the actual word picture means to see, that's the letter I-N, to see or experience. And the second letter, the D, the Dalit, is a door. So to see or experience the door. You go, wait a minute, what is that? Well, a testimony is something that God did, and it shows how we went into the door of his presence, so to speak, and what we experienced when we got there. We experienced either God's goodness or his love or healing, and it was always his faithfulness of some kind. So when we go in the door, it's kind of like the picture of the book that I wrote about, The Fence of Salvation. Where is the door? Well, God's love is the door. And when we go in it, we start to experience all of the things that have to do with his love and care for us. So that's Mr. Ed. So I'm going to talk about different kinds of witnesses or testimonies. The greatest witness or testimony is something that happens specifically to you in your life. You're the one who experienced it. It's something God did for you personally. And in legal terms, that would be called an eyewitness. Like in a deposition or a court situation, you would be answering, the prosecutor would ask you a question and say, where were you on the night of August 18th at 10 p.m.? And you'd say, well, this is what happened. This is my experience. And you'll say what you saw and what you experienced. So you see how it's a testimony? Now, we can also witness about something that happened to someone else. And that's also in a courtroom considered to be a valid witness. The most important one is the eyewitness. But if you have a witness that says, I saw what happened to so-and-so over there, then that's also a valid way to witness. Now, I just give you an example. This past week, through all of the different things that were going on with my particular work, I work as a bookkeeper for a company up in Laguna Beach, and I wasn't too sure whether my job was going to continue the way it has been. I knew I would probably still be able to do the bookkeeping, but it might have looked a whole lot different because all of a sudden all of our clients, just the bottom fell out of it. And so I wasn't worried about it because God is always faithful, and he really came through for me this week, where not only did I not lose my job, but I got a huge bonus because of some things that happened to the company where God just blessed them. So that's what happened to me. And so I'm an eyewitness in this because it happened to me. Now, I can also tell you a story about what happened to my sister, because she had some really cool things happen with her company. She works for Bumblebee Tuna. And some things happened where they were able to incorporate an idea that God gave her of how to keep on providing people with tuna. And so that all happened, and she was really blessed. So you see how I'm telling the story for her, but if she tells it, it's like, wow. You want to go, yes, that is so cool. So the same thing, like when you had your arm got the oil on it, you know, yeah. Yeah, so you tell the story, Vicki, and it's very, very powerful. If I tell somebody else a story, guess what? Vicki got healed. It is powerful, but it's not quite the same. See? All right, now, then the third kind of witness is a character witness. And in Hebrews 11, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is called, in 12:1, it's called the great cloud of what? Witnesses. Witnesses that surround like a cloud. There are so many witnesses in the Old Testament. It's like there are a giant cloud surrounding us with their testimony. But what kind of testimony it is that their lives showed their faith. And so it becomes a character witness. And I'll give you an example. You can turn to Hebrews 11, and we'll start in verse 4. This is talking about Abel. And it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. That's amazing. See, he's still speaking today because his life and what he did shows the kind of character he was. Abel offered the sacrifice of the flock, where Cain had offered his sacrifice from the tilling of the ground. So, but why was Abel's accepted and Cain's was not? It was because God had showed them from the very beginning that with the shedding of blood, there would be a remission of sins. And Abel believed that. He took it in his heart, and then he obeyed what God said, and he didn't question it. Whereas Cain said, "Oh, I think I got a better idea. I'm going to give something from me." But that's not what God wanted. Abel's obedience testifies. It shows where the door is of his faith. And he's still speaking because of that. Now, it's very interesting when we talk about Jesus Christ, because he says that he did not testify about himself. A character witness in a courtroom would be somebody who had firsthand knowledge of that person and what they did, their works. So John the Baptist is the one who witnessed about who Jesus was and how he was going to be the Messiah. So let's look at John 5, and we'll start in verse 31. It goes, "If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true." So sometimes it's not, giving a testimony is not like, "Look how great I am. I healed this person." I mean, last week there was somebody who got healed, but if I give the testimony of like, "I healed them," then it's all about me and not God. Whereas if the person who got healed gives the testimony, say, "Look at what happened, look at what God did," then God gets the glory. and that was true with Jesus too. See, verse 32 goes on, "There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from men, but I say these things so that you may be saved." He's talking about John. "He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." Now get this. Verse 36, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." So Jesus said, yes, John testified about me, and he told everybody about me, and he was a great witness. He kind of blazed the trail for Jesus to come. But Jesus himself is, hey, don't look at me. Look at the works that I am doing, because those works show that the Father has sent me. So he was, in everything that he did, he was saying that the best, wonderful, most fantastic testimony is the one that points to the Father, that he's the one who gets the glory. Now, there's a couple other ways in the Word that you could have a witness or a testimony, and one of them is in songs. Even the song that we played by Zach Williams about, "You are my rescue story." It's from this man's heart telling his story of what God did for him. "You are my rescue story." And Sal's song is like that, too. Artwork can be a testimony where you see a beautiful picture. It's a picture of the ocean, which I'm looking at right here in Babaji's living room, and you just get in awe because there's the wave crashing over, and who made that? God did. So it witnesses something to your heart. An example of a song was the time when the children of Israel passed over the Red Sea, and afterwards Moses has this song, and he says, and this is in Exodus 15 and verse 1, it says, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him.'" So this whole song gets poured out of Moses' heart, and the people all sing it together about how God had done this. And you see how the glory went to him again? It's all about him. Mm-hmm. Another way that in the Old Testament, often there would be a witness or a testimony, was using stones. Now, the land of Israel has a lot of rocks and a lot of stones, but they just became symbols of something where you would, if you would set up a stone, then it would become a testimony. And an example of this is in Joshua chapter 4, where when they crossed the Jordan River, you have more than a million people crossing the Jordan River on dry land, where the where the river is standing up like a heap on either side, and they cross over on dry land. Well, after everybody crossed over, then Joshua says to the people that they should take 12 stones out of the Jordan and heap them up in the middle of the Jordan River. Okay? So we have 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes, and they're in the middle of the Jordan River. And then he said, okay, also take 12 more stones out of the Jordan and bring them to the camp that they were camping at, which is called Gilgal. And so they set up these 12 stones in the middle of the river and in the camp. So 12 stones each. And then, okay, read, let's see, verse 21, Joshua 4, verse 21. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? This big pile of 12 stones, what do they mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, where the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. And this is the purpose of the stones, see? Verse 24. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So that's another purpose of a testimony, is not only to give God glory and show that he is mighty, but so that you could honor him, fear him, reverence him, and really hold that in your heart. So when your children come and ask you, what did God do for you when you were a kid, Mom? And then you just start pouring out. I used to tell my kids stories after stories of things that God had done and miracles that I'd seen when I first became a believer and everything. And their eyes would be like, really? What? Like, really? He can really do that? Yes, he can really do that. So there's a few other things that are testimonies. Bob, will you turn to Psalm 89, and we're just going to read one verse there, verse 37. The sun and the moon are testimony to God's faithfulness. Every morning, the sun comes up. Every evening, the moon comes up, right? And it's a witness. It's a repetition that shows God's faithfulness. You want to read verse 37? Psalm 89.
It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah.
A faithful witness in heaven. So God has made sure that we have witnesses all around us. We have the cloud of witnesses in the Old Testament. We have witnesses of his goodness all the time. We have testimonies of things that happened to all of our friends and family through the years. And we also have his word, which is a testimony too. Now, we're talking about Pentecost, right? So we actually have a witness within ourselves. And that's every time we speak in tongues, we prove again, not only to ourselves, but to anybody who hears it, that we are children of God. So I want to read just a couple of verses that talk about that. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 9. So we have this witness in ourselves. It starts out, if we receive the testimony of men, well, we do receive the testimony of men lots of times, right? The testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So every time we speak in tongues, it's a testimony within ourselves that God has sent his Son and given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son in us. Now look at Romans 8, verse 16. It talks all about, in Romans 8, about what the Spirit does. In verse 16 it says, and the Spirit gives testimony to our spirit. God, whose Spirit gives testimony to our spirit that we are what?
Children
of God, sons of God. And if we are sons, then also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Jesus Christ, that if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. So when we speak in tongues, it's not only a testimony to ourselves that we are children of God, but it's also a testimony that we are going to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ forever.
Wow.
So it's so amazing what happened on the day of Pentecost and what that gift is to us is a constant repetition in your heart over and over and over again. Yes, God is real. Yes, he is our Father. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he sent his Son. Yes, Jesus was raised from the dead, because we couldn't speak in tongues unless he had been raised from the dead. So we preach the gospel and we give these testimonies, right? And what we're doing is we're showing the door of the entrance into God's presence, into understanding about these things. So we preach the gospel and say, Jesus Christ is risen. You go, yes, he is. You can speak in tongues. Yes, I can. And you are going to be with him forever. And so it's the same thing when we give a testimony about a healing or something that God did for us, then we're turning around and saying, you can be healed too. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2, let's just take a look at a couple of verses there to close here. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 32, he gave this amazing sermon. And this is toward the end of it, and Peter is saying, this Jesus God raised up, verse 32, and of that we are all witnesses. The biggest thing that we're witness of is Jesus Christ's resurrection. But they had actually got to see it. And so when they were there, they were the eyewitnesses. They were the ones who had said, we saw it with our own eyes. This is what happened. And that's why I think it was so powerful that first day of Pentecost that so many people believed, because they had recognized these guys were with Jesus. Verse 33. So Jesus, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. The people were hearing them speak in languages all over the world, the known world at the time. They heard them, and we don't understand when we speak in tongues. But this was the miracle of Pentecost, was that they actually did understand and they recognized that they were magnifying God. So, in order to be a witness, we repeat a story of some kind. We're either an eyewitness, we tell about something that happened to somebody else, or we're a character witness where we say, look at so-and-so's works. If you could see their life, you could see the fruit in their life, whether they're abiding in Christ or not, like Ken was talking about last week. Like, you can see fruit in people's lives. And so that is a character witness. And they continue to speak even though they're not actually speaking words. And then we can use other things like songs and art and our stories to really magnify God. But the greatest thing that we can do is speak in God. Yeah. So God bless you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jan. I'm inspired to say something.
All right.
And to get a witness.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's just so amazing. Because it brings all the attention and everything up to God. And that's been quite cool when people tell their stories, all these different people from all over, because ultimately it gets everything back to how God worked things out so amazingly. And certainly one of the greatest stories that we can tell to encourage others is our own story about the details maybe of how God worked and the miraculous things that occurred. Those are such great stones of testimony and witness that we leave as a legacy to future generations, which unless the Lord returns, we will all participate in passing on that legacy. So what a wonderful truth.